Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Some Bears fans seem to love the idea of Cole Kmet, maybe the top tight end in the draft, at 43 or 50 to the Bears.
Ryan Pace said yesterday, we've accumulated some guys who are interesting for us in the tight end room. Eight or nine of them on the roster.
What's the saying, David? If you have nine tight ends, do you even have one?
What's saying? I don't know. There ought to be one.
If you have nine tight ends, do you even have one?
Let's make it 10.
Now, with the 43rd pick in the 20 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Cole Kmet, tight end, Notre Dame.
Ah, perfect. That's a 10.
Fakes the throw, in trouble, to the back of the end zone. Caught by Kmet for the touchdown.
I know they've been looking for a tight end to fit in the room and stuff, and I know they just signed Jimmy, and you know, I think I'm a little different type of player than Jimmy is in terms of how I play and how I can be used. So, you know, I know that Coach Nagy likes to use the tight ends in his offense. He's looking for tight ends that can go in and you know, compete and you know, be able to execute his offense. So I know it was neat, and I'm, you know, obviously just really excited to get in there and get going.
And Book throwing on the cross. It is Kmet in his end zone.
Give me a tight end.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine,
yo. 10. Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Nicely done, Chris Tannehill. Happy scoring team, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with the McNeil and Parkin Show. But now they're back to 9. As today, the Bears have waived tight end Dax Raymond. I love living in that time, though, of double-digit tight ends, Dan McNeil.
Yeah, they can always add one more to the roster before camp, so you can keep the room. They already started construction. They knocked out a wall at Hallis Hall for the tight ends. And Cole Kmet is a Bear. Enjoyed Lawrence sharing his conversation with Cole from a little while back. Just a few minutes ago, and I'm pretty good with that pick. I've never given a grade to a draft in all the years I've been doing this, and I'm not going to start today, but I would just say from a positional need standpoint, I thought the Bears did pretty well over the 4 days of the NFL draft. I would have liked to have seen them use a higher pick for an offensive lineman, but they did get themselves a Lechavius and an Arlington before it was all said and done, and I think it's been long overdue that the Bears added a Lechavius to the roster.
The Bears, by name, dominated the draft. Like, the names of the Bears draft picks: Arlington Hambright, Lechavius Simmons, Kendall Vitter. I mean, just one. Trevis Gibson, one after the next, after the next. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Cole Kmet is about as normal as it gets. That's the normal name. Well, Darnell Mooney is about as vanilla as it gets for this group. And
Jalen Johnson.
And we're going to have Jalen Johnson on the show in just a little bit, the Utah Ute. It'll be good to talk to him. He admires Jalen Ramsey and Patrick Peterson. And he likes to push around little receivers. That's where he feels he gets an edge. And he likes covering both little guys and big guys. So we'll talk with him in about, 10 minutes or so?
About 10 minutes. He was one of the three secondary players who I mentioned at the start of Friday's show, along with the two safeties, the kid from Minnesota, Antoine Winfield Jr., and then Delpit, the safety from LSU, and then Jalen Johnson. Those were the three names that I gave at the start of the show. So I am all on board with the Jalen Johnson pick. Like, if you, in the second round, really outside of the top 10 or 15 picks, there's usually going to be some sort of flaw or question mark on your grade for these guys. And for Jalen Johnson, it's health. He's had multiple shoulder surgeries, and he performed not at the highest levels of college football all the time, but had offers from Georgia and Oklahoma and other places like that, chose to go play at Utah, which Pac-12, obviously high enough, but not the best of the best. But it was the shoulder injuries for him. Mm-hmm. And so I love the pick. It's a premium position, second or third most important position in the entire league, first round talent, and hopefully he stays healthy. I think that's the perfect type of pick for 50th overall, if you get a first-round talent at 50 overall, and then you just hope that he stays healthy. With Cole Kmet, 3-for-3, experts we had on the show said that drafting him in the second round would be overdrafting him, and just because he was the top tight end in the draft, is just not a very good tight end class.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I watched Notre Dame, he did not jump off the screen as being really athletically super gifted. His combine numbers were actually better than I thought. And then when I read more about him after the Bears made the pick, it seems like he's the good athlete, like, that's a little different. It's not necessarily all about the explosiveness, but it's that, you know, he was a two-sport guy. He played baseball, and he's also awesome at golf, and he's good at all sorts of things. So he's just like a very athletic, but not necessarily Rob Gronkowski as an athlete.
Yeah, well, the knock on him is not one Bears fans want to hear either, and that is he doesn't like to block, and he'll deny that. But he wasn't very explosive as a guy lining up next to the tackle. He thinks he'll be okay in that regard at the next level, and I hope one of the nine can be, because that is a good thing when you have offensive linemen, tight ends included, especially the Y tight end. Love the vernacular. They got to be physical, and hopefully he will be, and he gets in the weight room and can knock people off the line of scrimmage and hold up in protection whenever he's asked to do so. So I'm encouraged by positional need. Again, no grades from me, and I don't have much for you on, although I do like it. I like the diversity of what the Bulls did late last night, Danny. I don't know if I like their timing on this, because we're all buzzing about The Last Dance, but welcome to Chicago, Mark with a C. Eversley, the first African-American Bulls general manager and the first Canadian-born Bulls general manager.
Yeah, I think that he checks a lot of boxes about what Arturis Karnišovas said he wanted in a GM. A black man with connections in the NBA who gets along well with players and has had stops at previously successful organizations, right? Toronto, the Sixers. So he seems to complement Karnišovas very well.
Yeah.
And then what I want to learn more about with him is he spent a decade at Nike, and some of the stuff that I've read about him just over the last couple of hours, you know, in Philly had a good relationship with Joel Embiid, in Toronto had a good relationship with DeMar DeRozan, who's obviously now with the Spurs, and the Kawhi Leonard move. Like, player relationships, right? It's what we've been talking about with the Bulls since you and I've been doing the show, having relationships to give you that little extra edge in free agency, because everybody can offer the superstar players the exact same contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't just
outbid. Right.
It's not baseball. You can't just outbid someone. So what are those little extra things that tip the scale 2-3% in your direction? This guy worked at Nike for a decade, and the shoe game in the NBA is massively important.
Sure.
Endorsement deals, off-season camps, mm-hmm. recruitment, all that sort of stuff. So if this guy has great relationships in the Nike world and in the superstar player world, maybe that's the thing that gives the Bulls that slight uptick, that slight edge in free agency. So I don't know a ton about him yet either. One guy who I texted just said, everybody likes him. I'm like, all right, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know a ton about him yet, but I will say on paper, his resume reads very strong, just like Arturis Karnišovas.
You know, if all you knew about Jerry Krause, once upon a time a Bulls general manager, was the video you saw of him dancing with Dennis Rodman, you might have drawn the conclusion everybody liked him as well. But that wasn't the case. That was funny stuff last night. Oh, am I enjoying the Bulls documentary, Parkins. Dan Patrick's going to join us at 4 o'clock to talk about last night's third and fourth episodes. Which one did you like better? I have a feeling I know, but which one?
Rodman and Phil. Yeah. It's hard to give me too much content on Dennis Rodman. I could have done a 10-hour documentary on him. I thought the 30 for 30 on Rodman was spectacular. I find him to be a fascinating sports figure. I was blown away by him as a kid. You know, the billboard, sure, on the side of the highway, trying to run and get in position to when he would throw out the jersey. Like, that was like the number one piece of sports memorabilia, and I loved sports memorabilia as a kid. I was like, oh my God, a Dennis Rodman game-worn jersey. That would be the coolest thing in the world to have, as he like rips it off when he was leaving the United Center floor. So I had Dennis Rodman shirts, and I'm a huge fan. And so
surprise to this veteran observer that you would gravitate to an anti-establishment goofball like Rodman.
I just loved everything about him. I thought it was great, and I loved the work ethic and the energy, and him talking about rebounding last night, and yeah, then hearing Will Perdue describe his apartment in the burbs as just being a bunch of mattresses everywhere. Like, that was amazing. Yeah. Carmen Electra, well done, sir. Like, it was just I thought it was fascinating television last
night.
Did
I catch some late before takeoff conversation debate via our group text about the relative appeal of Carmen Electra in last night?
I think Shep was – the sarcasm was probably a little lost on me in translation. I thought that he was –
He was not – because he was not a fan of hers, right? That's what
but
he said.
But he was kidding. He was kidding.
I was kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
Thought he was starting the week with another one of his real deep thoughts.
Yeah, I was like, man, is Carmen Electra on
Font,
that?
Doesn't go through on text messages, unfortunately. I couldn't bold that or put it in italics, unfortunately.
Okay, no, but your thumbs up it on felt, last night's Electra.
Oh, last night's Electra, 1998 Electra, are you kidding me? It felt like it was like a trip back to being 12 years old again. It was see the Bulls, see Carmen Electra, and then do Google image search afterwards.
It's not his thumb that was up. Yeah, I got you. Okay, all right, good. I felt the same way as you did, Jeff, and as you did too, Danny. Man, you know, most of this stuff is stuff we know, but they've done a wonderful job continuing to make it interesting. I think it's been brilliantly produced, and I am – what took you so long on cable television for allowing guys to talk like guys talk in a sports program that's not – you know, it's about time. It's about freaking time, Danny.
It was great. I couldn't imagine watching that on ESPN2 to get the censored version of it.
I know.
Like, if you want to show that to your kids and you're worried about that language, just wait until you can show them the version where you're okay with the language. Because
Or wait until they go back to school, and if it's second grade, they'll hear it again, because if they haven't heard it in the past few months.
That's exactly right. But no, it's great television. They're doing a fantastic job with it. I thought episodes 3 and 4 were better than 1 and 2, and 1 and 2 were still spectacular. And I love that the Bulls mattered so much to so many people that it's like tearing away at a scab. Like last week, it was being upset about Jerry Krause and if it denied this city a shot at a 7th title in the 98-99 season. And last night, it's picking away at the scab and revealing that people still are all up in their feelings over the Bad Boys Pistons and handshaking and all of that stuff. Like, it's it's just like sports meatballness in its purest form. I'm still mad about what happened in 1989. Like, it's just awesome.
It has resurrected a lot of old feelings from longtime Bulls fans. I heard you with Bernstein today a little bit before noon talking about that. And I look forward to revisiting that conversation and the difference between sports hate and real world hate, because sometimes it graduates to the latter, and that's when it becomes nonsense to me. And that's when something like not shaking hands becomes a negative influence. And, you know, you hear Jordan after they got knocked out in 90 when he was interviewed after the migraine game last night. They played better than we did. Hats off to them. That's how the great ones are supposed to respond. That's how you handle defeat when you're among the elite. And the Pistons did anything but that. And you could tell by my voice. I'm getting hot thinking about it, and I'm no particular raging Bulls fan. And there were things about the Pistons that I admired. I didn't like all of it, and I think David Stern last night didn't look real good because as the commissioner, he let them get away with way too much. And it was interrupting with a league, I thought, that had grown leaps and bounds and started to globalize because of the Magic, literally, and because of Bird and because of Jordan. And when you got a bunch of guys out there who just want to knock guys on the floor all afternoon, that's taking away the beauty and the artistry of the game when it's played at the highest level. And I was delighted in 91 when the Bulls got past them.
I understand that. And I think that that makes sports better. Right.
Yes, it does.
Just overall, like one of my philosophies, and I said it to Bernstein earlier, less hate in the world, more hate in sports. It's not about advocating for poor sportsmanship, right? No one would say you want your kids in a Little League game to behave like the Bad Boys Pistons, and it was dirty and it was dangerous. So it's not about advocating for that style of play or that behavior. But once they do it, right? It's clearly a hated rivalry. That's what their brand was. They had the Jordan rules. He goes up, you hit him. We actually heard what the real Jordan rules were last night, which I thought was fascinating from a basketball perspective in terms of what the defensive game plan was for him. Mm-hmm. But like, given that that was the backdrop, that Chicago hated Detroit, the Bulls hated the Pistons, and those players genuinely disliked each other even mm-hmm. till this day, mm-hmm. that sort of thing makes sports more interesting. It makes the drama and the narratives and the storylines better. So I just, when I hear people rail against the Pistons, but then also rail against AAU culture and these guys are too friendly and it's a game of patty cake out there and this generation has gone too soft. It's like, well, which one is it? Do you want them to hate each other or do you want them to be friends in the off season? And so I think that to deny that that made the sport so much more interesting is just a little foolish. No one would advocate you handling like your 9 a.m. conference call in that manner. But in 1990 NBA, yeah, it's fine. And being upset about a handshake or lack thereof 30 years later just seems a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it does. As I had, and I'll get into it much later on today, maybe before we close shop today. I had a little bit of Napoleonic resurrection of bad feelings for me, not about the Bulls and Pistons, but something else that was prevalent in the late 80s, early 90s, a little bit of resurrected animosity that I have to share, and it doesn't make me feel good about me, but it's part of the package. I'm going to tell you what's going on between the ears, and it surfaced while watching the episodes last night. How about Vern Lundquist doing the 1990 Eastern Conference Finals? I'd forgotten Vern was the voice of the NBA for so long.
The NBA on CBS was weird. The fact that that happened was a weird thing. Like, you just like ABC and ESPN has dominated it for this century, right?
Right.
And then NBA on NBC, the music is iconic, and Costas and Marv and all of that. NBA on CBS does get forgotten a little bit in NBA history.
It sure does. The eye has it. And I remember in the early 70s when we'd have to wait until 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the evening if we wanted to watch the NBA finals because they gave it to you on delay. It had already happened. If you wanted to see the Knicks and the Lakers in the finals, you want to see Jerry West, you want to see Will Chamberlain, stay up late, little tubby, because they show it to you on tape delay on CBS. There aren't enough interested people to put it on in prime time, they said.
Well, listen, there's a ton of going on. NFL draft, the Bulls documentary. Bulls have a new general manager, but I was really excited when the Bears made Jalen Johnson their pick, and he joins us now.
With the 50th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Jalen Johnson, defensive back, Utah.
Broken up by Jalen Johnson, the all-conference corner.
That's great, boss.
Jalen, you watch the player and you get excited about the player, and then our scouts come in, they start talking about the makeup and who this person is, his leadership, just the passion for the game.
Gordon escapes on the run, throws, and it's picked off.
Jalen was
sitting on that. He was salivating, hoping he would get that chance to make an impact play.
The film preparation, his football intelligence, strength coach loves him. You go on and on and on.
Easton throws an interception. Jalen Johnson down the sideline. All the way. Touchdown, Utah.
And now, so you're watching this talented player on tape. It really plays a style of defense that we want out of our corners. And then you combine it with the makeup.
I hated playing against corners like Jalen Johnson because you felt like at any moment they're just knowing what the route is and what's coming and they're going to sit on it.
And we just felt really, really comfortable with the player, the complete package.
And Jalen Johnson joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Jalen, congratulations, man. You're finally a Chicago Bear. You're an NFL player. How does it feel?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. It feels good. Honestly, just checking off some of my lifelong goals of being in the NFL. But I'm happy to bring my talents and help out the Chicago Bears.
How familiar are you with the Bears present and with their past, Jalen?
Speaking for both, honestly, the Bears always have a stout defense. They're always well sound on that side of the ball. Even from Brian Urlacher and when he was playing, and even now with the Khalil Mack trade and then with who they have in the secondary, they're always on a pretty solid defense. So, I mean, just being able to be a part of that is big time.
Tell Bears fans a little bit about what you think you bring to the football field.
Honestly, just a competitive edge, just being able to be versatile and being able to make plays on the ball. Ultimately, I feel like that's what the DB position is about now, especially with all the passing offense, just being able to make plays on the ball and limit big plays. I mean, that's definitely something I bring, and I feel like I fit into the scheme real well. So, I mean, just being able to compete and make plays.
I read, Jalen, where you enjoy press coverage and love to push around the little guys. Would you describe yourself as a physical cornerback?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like that's something that every corner has to have in their game. I definitely like to switch it up as well, and also being able to play using my feet more so than my hands, but definitely physical is something that I bring to the table as well.
How concerned are you about the shoulder in time for training camp, assuming there's going to be one?
Not concerned at all. My surgery went really well. I'm doing really good, so I mean, I'm going to be ready to go. And I'm just training to be the best I can be when training camp comes.
How far, like, are you ready to play football now, or how close are you to 100%?
I'm not sure how close I am to 100%, but just making progress. But I will be 100% when need be.
So what has it been like for you since your name was called Friday night?
Honestly, nothing really changed for me. I still wake up and just try to find different ways to better myself mentally or physically. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I've always been the one to try to get better. I've always been the one to work out and do extra work. So, I mean, it's not like I've changed in my work ethic or anything like that. But, I mean, I just still – it's just still surreal knowing that I'm not a Utah Ute anymore. Now I'm going to play for a whole different team in a whole different city and state. But, I mean, that part, I feel like I'll never get over that part until I'm actually there. But, I mean, everything else, I'm just still attacking each day as best I can.
Yeah, Chicago life is a little bit different than life on the Wasatch Mountains and all over the state of Utah. Have you ever been to Chicago, Jalen?
No, I haven't.
What are you looking forward to doing when you get here, other than meeting new teammates and acclimating yourself to the city? What have you heard about our city?
I mean, outside of the weather, I haven't really heard too much. Honestly, that would probably be one thing that I want to do is just go around and just kind of see different things and just kind of experience the food, experience the people, just kind of see what life is. Honestly, just walk around, drive around, and just kind of get a feel as best I can.
Yeah, you ready for that cold weather?
Yeah, because, I mean, we had it at Utah, but, I mean, it's different with the wind being a factor now. It wasn't too windy in Utah, but, yeah, I'm not going to be too – I'm familiar with it.
We're talking to Jalen Johnson, Bears second-round pick, cornerback out of Utah. When I was reading about you, it said that your college decision, you had offers from, you know, bigger football programs than Utah, but that you called, that you talked to the coaches and you asked if you'd be able to play like aggressive man-to-man press coverage. And when they said no, that you'd have to play in their system, that's what made you choose Utah. Is that an accurate recount of the story?
No, definitely not. I don't know where that story came from.
I read it in The Athletic. It was a profile that was the system that you wanted to play in.
Nah, that's not true. Honestly, I mean, I had a list. It could have some of the idea that is true, but not the idea of me being able to play aggressive press man coverage. More so the fact that I kind of had a list of things that I wanted, just out of a team and out of a program, and even as a coaching staff that I wanted. But being able to play aggressive press man coverage wasn't the one that I had necessarily based my decision off of.
What cornerbacks do you study and maybe emulate your game after?
It's tough. I mean, definitely number one, I'll say Darrell Revis is one, Stephon Gilmore, Patrick Peterson, Jalen Ramsey, all those type of guys, Casey Hayward. I can give you a list all day, but I just like to watch all the different corners and how they play the game and how they make plays and just how they move as well. So, I mean, I'm a real student of the game when it comes to the cornerback position. So, I mean, I watch a lot of the top cornerbacks in the league.
Most of those guys you mentioned are pretty good in run support too. Is that something you enjoy doing? You said earlier you like the physical part of the game, but can we expect from Jalen Johnson to find one of the more physical Bears cornerbacks, hopefully, in a few years?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, corners just don't cover. They also come up and make tackles and on the edge and on the perimeter. So, I mean, that's definitely something that's a part of my game that I have shown. But, I mean, I'm definitely going to get better at it now that I'm healthy. I don't have to worry about any lingering injuries. So that's definitely going to be something that you guys can expect to see from me.
Hey, Jalen, it's kind of a weird time in the country, in the world, and we don't know when you're going to be able to get to Chicago and work out with your teammates. How are you staying in shape? And like, can you just take us through what you're trying to do in terms of getting some football work in?
I mean, I haven't got too much of that in just because I haven't been able to really run too much. But, I mean, now that I'm able to run, I'm starting to do, like, field drills and starting to run and exercise a little more than just being able to ride a bike or do little things like that. So, I mean, I'm definitely upping my exercise based on my shoulder protocol. So, I mean, I'm just taking it slow and doing what I can with my shoulder.
Have you heard from any of your Bears teammates?
Yeah, Mitch hit me. I think one of the old linemen hit me on Twitter or added me on Twitter, but I think that was it from what I was able to see.
That'd be the first time a Bears old lineman hit someone in a while. What did Mitch have to say to you, Jalen?
Honestly, he just said congrats and then that he was just ready to work and just stuff like that.
A lot of pressure on that guy here with Nick Foles in town. It went the other way for the Bears, as you probably know, last year. I was just curious about some of the things you might have been consuming over the last 4 days. We're going to have some fun talking about draft coverage today. Some of the stuff they put out there is really unfortunate given the timing of the happiest day in a lot of young men's lives. Did you see anything in draft coverage that irritated you a little bit?
Like, meaning what? In what area or aspect?
Well, is it necessary to mention all the tragedy and personal difficulties guys have been dealing with right after they're mentioned as all Big Ten first team three straight years, and then, and I'm using this as an example, just talking off my top of my head here, and then mention a suicidal parent or drug addiction or something to that effect? It's weird.
Right. No, honestly, I feel like that only happened with the kids or with the athletes' permission to do. I don't think that was something that wasn't given out or wasn't given permission. I mean, I know T. Higgins and kind of his mom's story. So, I mean, he definitely wasn't shying away from that, and I feel like that shows the strength of him and his family. So, I mean, I don't think that was something that didn't want to be out there. And I feel like that feel the same way for all the other players. I feel like that they told those stories to just have a testament of who they are and how resilient they are, and even their families as well, and just being able to battle through setbacks and different things like that. So, I mean, I feel like certain tragedies like that, they learn to take and kind of just promote themselves of how tough they are.
Jalen, what about away from football? What other areas of interest do you have?
What other areas of interest? Honestly, I'm an open book. I don't have too many like hobbies or interests. Really, I'm just open. I'm just ready to have a good time, just whether it's my friends or my family. But I mean, I don't have any specific interests.
You like movies?
Yeah, for sure. I watch a lot of movies.
Have you seen Draft Day?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Okay. All right, it's one of our favorites.
It's a little bit of a guilty pleasure movie on the show just after off the NFL draft. That's why he's asking. But how was the – you know, you were not able to have a bunch of people together. What was your draft party like? How did you guys celebrate? I assume you were you back in Fresno, or what was that like?
Yeah, I was just back in Fresno just enjoying it with a few of my family and friends, just trying to do as best we can with the situation, just trying to stay safe. But, I mean, we definitely enjoyed ourselves for what we were able to have.
Well, Jalen, Bears fans are very excited. Keep up with the rehab and get that shoulder right. And big expectations for you, man. So virtually, welcome to Chicago, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Jalen. We appreciate it. Take care.
That's Jalen Johnson, second-round pick of your Chicago Bears out of Utah. Pretty interesting kid backstory. And I did read that, by the way, in that profile piece of him during The Athletic that had all these offers. And
yeah. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah, okay. Well,
nobody would ever embellish something around the
I just
draft,
went back and pulled
they?
Up the story, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I read it correctly. But
he told
you know.
The defensive coordinator, I don't like your defense. It's not demanding enough for my physically aggressive style of play. I'll take my chops to Utah. Didn't happen.
That's well, all right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Interesting kid, though. He sounded very, very poised and ready. And cold weather in Utah, a little different than Chicago. He's right. But there's a starting job for him opposite Kyle Fuller waiting for him in Chicago, Mac.
Yeah, there is. He's got a lot of work to do if he's going to be ready to go when they start training camp. Should it start at the typical time? Probably won't. But if it did, I don't think he would be wearing pads this close associated with a shoulder surgery. It wasn't a reconstruct, but it was a labrum tear, and it wasn't his first.
312-644-6767, text line 670-11, reaction to the Bears' top two picks, Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson. Also, the old feelings brought up from episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance. It's McNeil and Park.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's on the score. Jalen, what about away from football? What other areas of interest do you have?
What are the areas of interest? Honestly, I'm an open book. I don't have too many like hobbies or interests. Really, I'm just open. I'm just ready to have a good time, just whether it's my friends or my family. But I mean, I don't have any specific interests.
I love it.
Sure you do. Maybe he's just a little nervous.
Yeah, of course. Because then you ask him about movies. He's like, yeah, I love movies. I watch them all the time.
Think of one right now. I'm on the radio in Chicago. I'm just a kid from Fresno. That's okay. You know who he is, maybe? He's Peter Gibbons from Office Space. He just doing nothing is everything he thought it would be. So he doesn't have to have any hobbies. He hangs out with his friends, like you said, near the tail end of that, and do nothing. And it was everything I dreamed it would be.
Yeah, it's that was good stuff, man. He's a likable kid.
Yeah.
I thought his answer on your question was
once I got to it.
was pretty measured.
Like,
you know
how Haw feels.
He doesn't have like any of that, you know, stuff in his background, so he was not one of those kids that was talked about during the NFL draft with the awkwardness and like, you know. But he mentioned T. Higgins. Once you explained what you were talking about, he got it, and I thought he gave a very measured response. Again, I would say maybe a little like just like T. Higgins on Twitter saying that he had no problem with it. Like, that's cool that he had no problem with it, but I do think there may be a little naive to the television game.
Yeah. Like,
ESPN to put up a graphic about a kid, if it's factually accurate and it's been vetted by their producers, they're not asking every kid if it's okay to put everything on those graphics or in those highlight packages. They're not signing off with waivers of permission.
I wouldn't think that's the case either. As long as it's confirmed, they don't feel any obligation to those kids. But Roger Goodell was very pleased with his 4 days of draft coverage, and I think he has a right to be. But that was cringeworthy stuff when you're reading about a kid's parent. It's not really germane to the story. Let him tell that story. This is the biggest day of this guy's life. You're going to mention that his mom was doing lines for 16 years, and you got the exact length of it. Really?
Well, that was the thing. Like the T. Higgins one, and why the ESPN producer said it was a mistake when reached by Peter King and I think Richard Deitch separately. It wasn't even like a prepackaged piece, like with what was it, Cesar Ruiz? The center from the Saints took out of Michigan, and like a few of them in the first round, the players clearly had participated in some form of pre-production to tell their story. With T. Higgins, it was just a graphic that wasn't really mentioned. So it was just like academic All-American, tied a Clemson record with DeAndre Hopkins with 27 touchdowns. Mom was a drug addict for 16 years. And it's like,
exactly.
What?
Really?
Like, that is uncalled for.
Yeah, that's not part of the script. What is that doing in there? I don't know. It was weird. But I enjoyed Jalen Johnson. That was a fine first visit. And I couldn't help myself but take a shot at him at the Bears' offensive line, even though it upset a texter or two. That's the way it goes. When he said a member of the Bears' offensive line hit him up last night and I jumped in, the first time they hit somebody in a long time, I couldn't stop myself. But you know
what?
It
was Charles Leno. Yeah, Charles Leno tweeted him, and I agreed with one of the texters who said, man, really bold of the backup quarterback of the Bears to reach out.
Yeah, Mitch too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we got Lechavius in Arlington to take back end of the draft talent to fill in at the back end of the roster for those big fellas up front. Well, that's the way it goes. Josh Jones is going to love his life in Maricopa County, Arizona, as a member of the Playboy Cliff Kingsbury's Arizona Cardinals.
Bottom of the hour on The Score was brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including postal workers, CTA staff, and airport staff. We appreciate you. We're going to play what some of our experts said about Cole Kmet before the draft and see how that reconciles with the Bears' 43rd overall selection. It's next on The Score.
For some crazy reason, went right to the tape of we all started looking kind of at some tight ends, and just coincidentally, he happened to be a guy we just popped on and started to go with. And right away, you look at this guy and you see, man, he's like, we were joking, he's like RoboCop. You know, this guy can block, he can catch, he can do a lot of good things. And you never know how things are going to go. But local kid, just a super person and a really special player. So we're excited to see the growth there with him.
Cole Kmet, RoboCop. Explain that one, Mac.
Well, he's referring to the movie character RoboCop, not the former Chicago Bear fourth-round pick of 32 years ago, James Thornton out of Cal State. He was a short-time RoboCop. Nagy was not referencing, and I hope Cole Kmet is going to be much better than James Thornton was.
You know, he's like RoboCop. No, you know, this guy, he can block, he can catch, he can do a lot of good things.
The Bears RoboCop didn't do a lot.
Yeah, so I was unaware of this. The Bear, who'll be the second Bear nicknamed RoboCop.
You didn't know the Bears had a RoboCop title? Yeah, I guess. Well, he wasn't around long enough. I thought he only played here for a few years. I think he went to the Houston Oilers after the Bears were done with him. But yeah, he did not. His star never ascended to very, very large heights. So I'm not too surprised.
The Cole Kmet story was really cool. Like the video that was released, he thought it was the Jaguars calling, because on TV they were up on the board. But then it's Matt Nagy, and you know, he's in Arlington Heights, surrounded by family. They're all Bears fans, and he just goes absolutely insane when he pops up on his FaceTime, and his family's going nuts. Like it was a great human interest story and local kid, and everyone will be rooting for him. I just hope that wasn't a factor in drafting him. Like you don't need that in the NFL. Like the Bears sell themselves. You don't need to be drafting the local kid for the sentimental reasons. Like I think that Cole Kmet is a huge position of need, and this offense lacks tight end production. So he is going to be given every single possibility to succeed, and I hope it works out for him.
I hope I'm not projecting, but I'm wondering if you are suspicious now of Ryan Pace as a sentimentalist when it comes to drafting, based on things he has said about recent draftees and the courtship process.
I don't know. I
falls in love with the story, nice family, maybe met somebody in the family along the way, they're local, his dad played for the Bears. That's the kind of thing a guy, you know, an apple pie and Chevrolet guy like Ryan Pace eats up. I have that fear factor myself.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard ever since Mitch's Toyota Camry, right?
Yes.
He was just obsessed with that car where, he gets tunnel vision, and I always say it's best player available at a position of need. And the Bears at tight end is a huge position of need. Mm-hmm. And Cole Kmet was the best tight end in this class. So you can't be angry at the pick in terms of a fit. And the story, right, again, is awesome. And so hopefully it works. But listen to Austin Gale. This is the top draft guy over at Pro Football Focus. And I asked him when you were off if Cole Kmet at 43 or 50 was in range with his evaluation. Is there any chance the tight end from Notre Dame, Cole Kmet, is on the board at 43?
Absolutely. I think it would be a fool's errand to go after Cole Kmet earlier than that, in my opinion, because there's so much uncertainty with him. Yes, he's one of the top tight ends in this class, but this overall is a very bad tight end class. And with positional value considered, you're better off going after another position with that pick, in my opinion. I like Cole Kmet. Yes, he was productive at Notre Dame. He's got guys similar to like Gronks of the world, but I still can't get on board with him being a high day two type of player. I do think, however, he can be productive in the NFL. I look at him as more of a third round, fourth round type talent.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't do big boards, right, for the draft, so I have to defer to these experts. But the other guy we had on from Pro Football Focus, Mike Renner, last week said much of the same. Tanny, you can play that if you have it. that be an overselection?
I think so. I think he's still very much a projection at this point. You fall in love with what he could become, not necessarily what he is right now. He's kind of the best of a bad group in terms of he offers like the full, complete tight end skill set of inline blocking, size, ball skills, but he's not like dynamic after the catch. He's kind of like a bruiser and a lumberer around the football field. So as a Notre Dame fan, like I was kind of surprised when he declared for the draft. I just don't see him being that sort of dynamic tight end that is the guy or the true difference makers today, the Kittles, the, you know, Kelsey's of the world.
And then Tom Thayer told us the same thing in terms of not being sure what he would be able to be asked to do right away in the NFL. So you feel bad ranting on like the local kid parade. And again, it is such a position of need for the Bears. Everybody is rooting for it to work out, and this offense needs it. Like Trey Burton was supposed to be Zach Ertz. Remember, Zach Ertz set the tight end receptions record in this offense. Travis Kelce, we know what he does in this offense. And the Jimmy Graham thing is meaningless. They play different tight end positions, and Jimmy Graham's not going to be on the Bears 1 year from now. So Cole Kmet hopefully is the Y tight end of the future. It's just, I wonder if they said, position of need, great story, let's overdraft the kid, and we don't have a third-round pick, so be it.
And let's not take another small college kid and go to Dayton for Troutman, who was the other tight end who was right about at that same level. Yeah, there were a lot of people like those two draft experts who were talking about him as potentially a third-rounder. That's the weird thing about this draft we just had. There was no uniformity. There was no homogenized grading system where there were a lot of similar expectations. There were first rounders who were going to be third, who were third rounders. There were guys opposite of that too. So it was a very bizarre situation. But Renner's description there as a plotter and just sort of a mutter and a guy who can't get away from people is not very appealing. I thought he was describing Adam Shaheen. We don't want another Adam Shaheen.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading Peter King today, and you know, he got a little shot in there about the Bears and all the tight ends they have in on the roster, and he was saying the group is going to end up being Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, Demetrius Harris, and Adam Shaheen. Four tight ends make the final 53-man roster. I guess I think it's a better than average shot that Adam Shaheen is cut, frankly, and it ends up just being those three guys.
What about Holtz? You didn't say his name. He was the best H-back they had last year. I hope one of these guys can do. I hope, you know, Kmet is better, but if you're going to count on your tight ends to block, that dude was the best last year. And not that it was a great accomplishment, it was a lousy group of tight ends. And that's just great that the Bears, at least we're moving away from kickers for being national punchlines. If Peter King is picking on the Bears tight end room needing to be blown out in a reconstruction project because there's too many, it's better than kickers. Better to have 9 tight ends than 6 kickers.
Yes, it certainly is. More of a premium position. We have another draft expert from Sports Illustrated, Andy Benoit, coming up at 3:40. Dan Patrick will tell 90s Bulls stories at 4 o'clock. But I want to, you know, sink our teeth into what happened last night in that documentary. You said it brought up some feelings for you, and I know it did for a lot of our listeners. We'll get into it. McNeil and Park is on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.